know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. What you're about to hear is about more than just football. It's about life. This is Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Now, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Wipe the dust out your eyes. Earl, we got a pack of wind to talk about.
Hey, man. I couldn't believe it, man. You know, I fell asleep a couple times yesterday. Man, I can't think in all the decades that I've been watching the Packers that I ever fell asleep on the game. Now, yeah, they finally got 7 points in the first. Let's put it in perspective.
Was it too much Geritol?
Hey, man. Hey, Gilbert. You were there, man. So the fans really were excited, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're always excited at a Packer game. Always. It's always standing room only at a Packer game. I don't know about them Detroit Lions or Chicago Bears, but it's always standing room only at a Packer game.
So they won a game.
Thank God.
And I didn't ask you, man, when they traded that defensive back.
Mm-hmm.
He was a fan. He was a player favorite, right?
A fan favorite is what you're trying
yeah,
to say?
Yeah, a player favorite. The players really liked him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's difficult when all of a sudden you come in the locker room and a guy's gone. You know what I'm saying? If it's from training camp or even during regular season during trade time, it's difficult. You know, because you got friends that you know you grew in,
yeah.
And you love. You know,
yeah, so
it's different.
And he was outspoken and really, I guess, a really great player. But anyway, Gilbert, they played against a team that, you know, didn't have any offense. Now, yeah, the Packer defense played really well.
Did you just hear yourself? Can you rewind that in his ears, Kyle?
I heard that they didn't have
the offense. They didn't really have offense, but the defense played very well.
Yeah, I know.
they ain't giving the defense no credit.
Hey, well, you know the Rams. I just you know for the you know you don't have you play with who you got, right? So Stafford couldn't play. That ain't the Packers' fault. Without Stafford, they're supposed to beat these cats up, and that's what they did, right?
Yeah, yeah. But then again, you got to say to yourself, defense did play pretty good because you got to look at those two receivers they got. I understand maybe the quarterback was not Stafford, but the quarterback get paid too. And his job is to get the guys the ball. And they moved the ball on several times with a lot of key mistakes going on both sides.
Right.
But Zaire Alexander and them locked them boys down. They locked them down, man, which they needed that. And they needed this game for a confidence game to going into Pittsburgh. So they need this game.
Let me ask you, man, because Zaire Alexander and the defensive backs and safeties did a good job. Mm-hmm. But the defensive line kept pressure on that rookie.
Yeah, so you got to look at it like this. Even if they did have Stafford back there, somebody's going to be running for their life.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, our defense has been getting a bad rep all season.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because of the offense. Because the offense hasn't been scoring points.
You know, Gilbert, the defense hasn't been blown out, right? I mean, it's not like somebody put up 35, 40 points against them all year.
No, see, that's the thing. Is like that part of it is getting exposed. When you go back and look at those games, if we were in a dog fight with these people by offense scoring points,
right?
Some of them games we could have won. Our defense is holding this team together.
Well, there's no question that the defense is, and we said this, and everybody said going in, they expected the Packer defense to be the strength of the Packers because they got all them first-round draft choices and them talented guys on defense, man. So, you know, unless they're up against some lights-out cats, defense going to kind of hold the fort, right? I mean, they're going to hold the fort. The thing they were missing were turnovers. They haven't been able to get turnovers, Gilbert.
Right. Turnovers to get the ball back into offense's hands. But like I said, man, everybody, you know, everybody pointing fingers at this, that, the other. When you really need to sit down and dissect this team, our defense is keeping us in the games. Our offense is just not scoring points.
So let me ask you again, then, Gilbert, the coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
The coach, I looked at, and I was watching, what's the quarterback's name, man?
Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm. And, man, they got him all messed up, man. He's afraid to throw the ball a couple times. He held the ball long enough, too long. He got to get rid of it, but I think he's afraid he's going to throw an interception. They got him, they in his head. Is it safe to say that?
Yeah. Yeah, you can see it because I was up in the box and, you know, you listening to the pros while you're sitting in the box and the receiver was running and Antonio Freeman was like, he's open, throwing the ball now. And he's holding it.
Yes.
Trying to see if he going to get like, too far open to throw the like high school street ball. You're gonna throw it once he breaks separation when you should throw it at a point. You know what I'm saying? So there's certain things that we're watching that needs to come true.
Well, so and I saw him take two or three sacks, Gilbert, when get rid of the ball. Throw it somewhere, but it's in his head now. Right? He don't want to throw an interception. They've let him know, hey, man, you're throwing too many interceptions.
Yeah.
He's thinking too much.
Yeah, it's like I've been saying before, Earl. He's a three or four-year player, but he's coming out playing as a rookie because he's making those rookie mistakes during the season, and you can see that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But that's what they kind of expected, right? They knew that.
To an extent, yeah, but the fans ain't.
I know.
That's the thing. The fans got to see that.
So any booing from the fans?
No, hell no.
Okay.
Not in Lambeau Field. Not right now.
Yeah. Let me.
Year two, they might.
Let me ask you. Out of all of their receivers, they got one guy, excuse me, who's played 2 years or more, and he's a tight end. Everybody else, 1 year. That's got to matter, Gilbert. I mean, cats running wrong routes. It's a learning curve, right? I mean, they're not where they're supposed to be when Love is throwing the ball and he's running for his life. Good receivers and what Aaron Rodgers had was when the play breaks down, he knew where the receivers were going to be, right? They knew to come but these rookies don't know that.
But Earl, here's the killer part about it. On the tail end of Aaron Rodgers leaving,
he got beat up a little bit.
He had the same problem. Yeah. He was fussing about, man, these receivers don't know where they're going.
They were rookies.
Not catching the ball. So 365 days later, or fast forward to now, it's the same thing.
Yeah, man. And they've got more rookies now than even Aaron.
Yeah, so how's it going to change from the great Aaron Rodgers to now Jordan Love and him? It's the same thing.
You know, Gilbert.
They want to put it on Jordan Love.
It's a great point. It's an absolutely great point because, again, with Aaron Rodgers last year, they were 8-9. So,
Earl, that's why I know what I'm talking about.
I can't argue. How can
experts, expert analysis, and my hairline ain't far back like your boy's hairline. What's your boy's name on ESPN? What's name? Stephen A. Yeah, Stephen A.
Hey, let me. So, I've never seen. I guess, man, to not win a game in 45 days, that's a heavy burden on everybody, right?
It so is, man. It's. I mean, even walking through
the
hallway.
You ever go that long?
No. No, uh-uh. But you know what? Even the janitor mad at you if you walk past. He mopping the floor looking like, oh, here comes this guy. Look at this guy here.
Yeah, man. It was like,
you ain't no D-Day
pastor. Gilbert, it's like they were really, really happy. And I guess I'm happy for them too, man, because, you know, it's kind of like getting the monkey off the back, right?
Oh, my God. More than that, Earl. It's more than that. You come to work. You come into work tomorrow where everybody got a smile on their face.
Yeah.
It's contagious.
So it's the stress that they've been under.
Yes. Everybody. A.J. Dillon should be traded. Offensive line sucks.
Hey, it's
the Jordan Love can't hit a hit side of a barn.
Yeah.
And all this stuff.
Yeah.
You ain't got to listen to that.
We need to bring the rookie quarterback in instead of Jordan Love. You know, the rookie who ain't never played it down. God. Oh man, all those conversations have been had, you know. And So listen, we've got to go to a break. Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, you can join us at 844-967-2789. What are your thoughts on the Packers' victory on yesterday? And does it change your view and your mind about
Victory Monday? Yeah. Victory Monday.
Yeah. Oh, Victory Monday.
Victory Monday.
You have to dust that off, didn't you?
You ain't lying. 45 days later. Victory Monday.
All right, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger. You can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. So the Packers finally won a game 45 days later. And so phone lines are open again. Let's go to the phone lines. Enrico. Hey, good morning to you, Rico. You say what? You see the game?
Oh, yeah, of course I watch the game. It's all good in Packerland today, ain't it? Man,
don't demand too much, do you, man? Just a victory. Any old W will do.
Well, I'm hoping Kenny Clark's all right. I see he came out of the game, and Wooden came in, did a real nice job. I think Wooden took his place. I'm not sure. But, yeah, it doesn't take much. But you were asking how we feel now and, you know, this far into the season. But I still feel the same as I did going into the season. This defense, you know, yesterday, guys, we not only traded Douglas away, but we were missing Ford, we were missing Savage, and we were missing a guy I consider a real ball hawk, and that's that Quay Walker. And McDuffie came in, did a fine job. And then there's this cat, as you guys like to call these guys. I watched him in preseason as Valentine came in and did a great job.
Hey, Gilbert, he sound like he know a little bit about the Packers.
I like the way Rico say, cat is what y'all call them, these cats out here.
Hey, Gilbert, he sounds
like... I love me some Rico, man. He cracked me up.
Hey, man, he sound like he know a little bit about the football. Hey,
you know what? Rico is absolutely right, Earl. We were down so many guys on that defense. If they got hurt or whatever, and they still play pretty good.
Well, you know, Gilbert, I remember in the preseason, you may not want to remember it, but I told you, I said, sure, the Packers got some, they got some athletes on defense. Remember? Mm-hmm. During the preseason, I said, man, they're deep.
Earl, you like to toot your own horn.
No.
No. You want a pat on the back of that tight shirt you got on?
Hey, Gilbert, they do have, look, the shirt ain't tight, man. First off, look at it. Look at it.
They call it blousing it out. There you go, blousing your shirt out.
So, Gilbert, they do have and will have, because their defense is young. Yeah. So how long does it normally take for a defense to gel like that? They got these young players.
They're really starting to right now. You got to start, you know, we real hard on Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
But once you start looking, defense has been playing some football this year, man. Keeping us in the game. I mean, because you can be sitting up there and we could have 70 points hung on us.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? If the offense was in the game, we would be more competitive than what this record is showing.
Well, there's no question, man, that in the years to come, it's safe to say the Packers are going to have one of the top defenses in the NFL because they're so young, right?
Yeah. And what are we, 8-9 games in, Earl?
Yeah.
So we midway through the season.
Hey Gilbert, I would love to keep talking to you, but there's a woman on the line named Susan. And I think we'll go to her before we keep on talking to you.
Okay, ladies first.
Hey, good morning to you, Susan. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I'm so excited to be on the phone with the Gravedigger. My gosh, I followed his career when he was with the Packers. I was so happy they won yesterday. And I feel as though everybody are all naysayers. I think they need to remember back to the days when Lindy and Santi was coach, and we spent all that time watching the Packers lose every week, just about. And in my family, we went to church, and then we watched the Packers. So that's what kind of a Packer fan I am.
Hey, Gilbert.
So just wanted to.
She remembers Lindy Infante. Can you imagine what kind of you know fan she is?
She's a diehard Packer fan with knowledge. You know what, Earl? It's always good to get a woman's perspective.
Oh, yeah. You know, what's that old axiom? What's that old saying?
Hmm.
If God made anything better than a woman, he kept it for himself.
Oh.
But anyway.
Okay.
That's pearls of wisdom, Gilbert. Hey, Susan.
You got a lot of wisdom.
Hey, Susan. What are your thoughts now as, you know, as we move this, you know, almost into the middle of the season? Are you discouraged?
No, I'm not. I think the D is playing really well. And I think the offense, yes, has a lot of miscues out there. But I'm a fan of Valentine as well. I think every time he's been in the game, he does really well. He's kind of a ball hawk, which is kind of nice to have around. And so is Alexander. And, you know, I just really feel as though we have to have those kinds of guys in there. I wish we had someone like, who was the person that used to run back the ball? What was his name? Anyway, when we went to the Super Bowl, he would go from end zone to end zone. He was kind of a really good return person. I think our return game is a little laggy, but hey, I'm a Packer fan true and true. And my dream is to get a seat in the end zone at the game and be able to catch the guy when he jumps up there.
Wow. Susan, thank you very much for the call.
I think Susan would catch me if I jump in the stands, huh?
Hey, if you jumped in the stands, the whole
they're going to move. They're going to clear out the way.
Collapse. That whole end of the stadium would collapse.
Hey, Miss Susan, thank you for calling. Please call in more because we love a woman's perspective.
And you know, Gilbert, she really is just right on point.
She knows stuff, man.
You know,
she knows stuff.
You know, they play the Steelers next week in Pittsburgh. You played in Pittsburgh. Is it a tough place to play?
Like we were talking on air, Earl, there are certain places that got mystique and certain places where you walk in, they got tradition. We got that. Pittsburgh got that. And Kansas City got that. Oh, my God. When you walk into those places, like I said, them guys that's fighting Mike Tyson, they lost when they put their gloves on. You know what I'm saying?
You know, so what is it about? So they go back to Terry Bradshaw and that mystique from George back Franchise, in those days, man. Franco George Harris, Franchise. And so they got their own mystique like Green Bay.
They sure do. The steel curtain.
Yeah.
The terrible towel waving. Franco Harris, God rest his soul.
You know, Gilbert, man, this has ended too soon, man. We got to work on this.
Man, I don't know. The powers that be. We need to talk to
you. Yeah, we will talk on it, man. But we gotta run, man.
You're getting a lot of calls in. Yeah. I see Calvin over there telling people, man, I saw you. That's a four calls. Four calls, Calvin.
Hey, Gilbert, we gotta go, man. You and I'll talk later.
Okay, brother.
All right, under the helmet with the grave digger. Gotta go to a break.
Calvin, holler at you. Tell Big Sandy I said what's up.
All right. We'll be right back.
Love you, brother.
Likewise.
I'm gonna make a mind if it takes all night. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? I'm that girl. I'm gonna make a mind if it takes all night. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Good evening, sweet darling. May I ask your name?
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to welcome my guest, Miss Lisa Schiller. She is with the Better, she's actually in public relations for the Better Business Bureau of Wisconsin. Good morning to you, Lisa. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. I'm great. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you on the line. A lot of things to talk about. Let's talk a little bit about the Better Business Bureau first.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Better Business Bureau, I think a lot of people, you know, don't realize we're actually a nonprofit, non-governmental organization. We're committed to our mission to be a leader in advancing marketplace trust, and we work to create an ethical marketplace where buyers and sellers can trust each other. And we do that by calling out and addressing substandard business behavior like scams and fraud and misleading advertising. And then we commend good businesses as ethical and trustworthy through our BBB accreditation program and our Business Ethics Awards program. And our goal really is to help people and to expand the community of trust within the state of Wisconsin.
You know, I've been around a little while, and I checked on the Better Business Bureau on a company maybe once, maybe twice, but nowhere near as much as we should. Today, I'm looking at this, and it says your research says that more people 18 to 24 are being taken advantage of than in the much older segments of the population with scams. Let's talk a little bit about that. I'm surprised at that.
Yeah, Earl, everybody is. You know, because everybody always thinks that it's the senior citizens that are falling for all of the scams and losing all the money. This was our most recent study, just came out last week, our press release about this. And people probably don't realize we do about, I would say about 4, 5, maybe 6 studies per year. And our studies are really interesting. You can find them all on our website, bbb.org. We've done studies on gift cards as payment, moving scam studies, employment scam studies, the timeshare and vacation industry. And I'm telling you, they're fascinating. So our newest study is showing that people ages 18 to 24 reported losing more money to scams than older groups. And we find this data through our fantastic online scam tracker tool. It's called BBB Scam Tracker. Anybody can report to it. We want to hear from people. So you just take time to report scams and fraud that maybe you encountered, that maybe a neighbor of yours or a relative encountered. You know, you can report for them as well. You can remain anonymous if you prefer, although there is a little box that says, you know, if you're willing to share this information with the media or law enforcement, that's really appreciated by me because, you know, when I see that, sometimes I'll call a reporter and go, you know, I'm starting to see an uptick in this particular scam reported. Let's do a story. Let's get the word out for others.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So could it be that the younger population is starting to be scammed more because of the internet, because of the technology and more companies that, you know, it's kind of hard to track?
Absolutely. And first of all, you know, we really saw the numbers changing little by little starting during COVID. So I would say in my experience during the whole COVID period, the whole pandemic, we started to see a lot of increases in scam reporting in general. We started to really take heed of that data and track it because, you know, so many more people were at home. They were isolated. They were lonely. And more people than ever were jumping online, you know, to purchase things and maybe to find romance, to get a puppy. A lot of people, you know, found puppies comforting during COVID. And in that time also, you know, people aged 18 to 24 were, of course, you know, online more than anybody, I would say, making purchases and trying to find employment. A lot of people lost their jobs during that time. They were, you know, creating new resumes, trying to prepare themselves for getting back into the workforce and that type of thing. And I also think it's also because, you know, these younger generations want everything instantaneously. I don't know that they know that the Better Business Bureau is there for them to check on companies for free, you know, that they have to do their research before making a decision, before taking a job, you know, before paying money, before doing, you know, online shopping. I don't know, you know, everybody wants everything instantaneously. And you know, my message is always, you really have to take a step back these days with anything, you know, before making a donation, before making a purchase, you got to take a step back. You got to do a few minutes of a little bit of research. And I don't know that these younger generations are really used to that yet, but we're hoping, you know, to get the word out to them and make them better consumers for the future.
So let me ask you, because we are right now in a cycle where Medicare and so, you know, Part B, C, and D of Medicare is upon us in open enrollment. And so elder people are now at risk as they are being scammed. I'm one of the elders, being scammed left and right through Medicare fraud. And sometimes we wonder, I mean, the Better Business Bureau in familiar with and on top of that as well?
Yes, absolutely. And that's one of the things I talk about when I give presentations. So for anyone listening, you know, if you're part of a group, a church group, or, you know, a community center, anything like that, you can contact the Better Business Bureau and request that someone, probably me, comes out and speaks to your group about all the common frauds that are going out right now, going on, and, you know, kind of do like a little bit of a, you know, an education, and a lot of people like to talk about their experiences. Medicare scams are one of the ones that we talk about, is, you know, with anybody over the age of the 55-ish. So we know that in regard to, first of all, in regard to Medicare, from October 15th to December 7th each year, Medicare has an open enrollment period, and that allows beneficiaries to evaluate their health care coverage and then make changes for the upcoming year. And unfortunately, this always means there's a spike in Medicare scams, because criminals like to exploit, you know, that public attention and target beneficiaries as well. You know, one thing we know, and we always say, is that scammers watch the news. They know what's going on. If there's a, you know, a hurricane or some type of, you know, weather tragedy going on, they know that. They're going to, you know, start making imposter calls, trying to pretend that they're with an organization maybe that is, you know, seeking donations to help these people. And so same with Medicare. You know, when it's an open enrollment, we see scams rise in regard to that. And, you know, imposter scams in general are huge. So we'll talk just a minute about Medicare. First of all, you know, how it works is you'll receive a call or a text or an email or, you know,
see it on television
from someone. Yeah, right. Exactly. Someone will be posing as a Medicare agent or insurance provider, and you may be urged to act quickly. You know, they'll say you could avoid losing your benefits if you know, act quickly. You may be pressured to purchase a limited time offer that they're offering that promises to save you thousands of dollars. They might entice you with a free gift, or you could be told that Medicare is issuing new cards and needs to verify your information. We see that reported a lot to our BDD scam tracker. And then they'll request sensitive information like your Medicare or your Social Security number, or even your bank or credit card information. And what we want people to know is that criminals will use caller ID to spoof the call to make it appear like it's coming from Medicare.
Yes.
Or some other trusted source. So you can't trust that caller ID, unfortunately. And then also, we want people to know that scammers may sound professional. You know, they claim to represent Medicare. They might have some of your personal information to trick you into believing them. But in reality, you know, they're trying to just steal information and money from you.
Let me ask you, Lisa, the Medicare fraud part of this is very personal to me, because the elders can't discern the difference. And so we've got a government that knows this is going on. Why can't this be fixed on the federal level, where a lot of these companies that have come into existence, you know, that you think you can trust, they're also scamming the people. So how do you really know?
Yeah, that is a very good question. A very good question. I guess I can answer that by saying, you know, we have to remember that the vast majority of scams are being perpetrated from scammers that are located overseas. So they're hard to catch. You know, they might be using phone numbers that by the time we report those phone numbers, or by the time a government agency is able to look into who's making those calls, those numbers are already gone and new ones are created.
Right.
So, you know, the Better Business Bureau takes the approach that, you know, if we can't stop the scammers necessarily, at least we can try to educate people to stay a step ahead, because it's heartbreaking. It's and angering, you know, to hear when somebody has been taken advantage, especially, you know, our seniors, our older Americans who have worked all of their lives and, you know, have their little nest eggs built up, you know, for anything, you know, that might come up in their life, like a medical emergency or something, and to see it, you know, robbed away and taken by, you know, ruthless scammers is just really heart-wrenching.
You know, I've been scammed, and so you may think, and it's easy, and people say, well, how did you get scammed? You should have known better. But as you stated, these people are in business And so they're not just Tom, Dick, and Harry or Tom, Dick, and Mary. These are people who are pretty bright, many of them. And so they know exactly how to get around things and to take advantage of you.
Well, you couldn't be more correct, Earl, honestly. And you know what? I have been doing this for 20-some years between the Better Business Bureau, and before that I worked as an investigative producer for a local TV station. And I can tell you that I've been scammed as well. Crooks are professionals. Every detail of their fraud is carefully created by full-time professional fraudsters. They have scripted answers for any question that you might ask them. They tell people they must take action immediately. They're difficult to detect sometimes that they're actual fraudsters. You know, they are very good at what they do. And, you know, it's very, unfortunately, very easy to be taken advantage of. And so, it's happened to all of us.
So, Lisa, can you hang on a second? You know,
sure.
Very important information on the other side. My guest is Lisa Schiller. She is with the Better Business Bureau. We'll be right back.
Oh, it's a groovy situation, a splendid combination that we should meet in a time like a day. Oh, it's a groovy situation and a splendid combination. You're something that I just can't miss. Baby, baby, it's a groovy situation and a splendid combination that we should meet at a time like a day. Oh, it's a groovy situation and a splendid combination. You're something that
show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, text us at that same number. I'm so happy to have on as my guest Miss Schiller, who is Lisa Schiller, who is with the Better Business Bureau. And if ever there was a time to have this conversation, it is now, with the holidays coming up again, with the open enrollment for Medicare. But also, Lisa, this is one that kind of threw me for a loop. Employment scams. Tell us a little bit about employment scams, how people are getting scammed with employment opportunities.
Yeah, that's been really a big one. Actually, you know, every year, approximately February or March, we release our top 10 most reported scams of the previous year. And employment rose to number 2 past year. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what is reported most for this year, which should be coming out soon in just a couple short months. Employment scams also, Earl, was the number one most reported scams for the 18 to 24-year-olds. So what we think is happening there is obviously after COVID and the pandemic, you know, a lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people quit their jobs and said, you know, this the whole pandemic made me really kind of take a look inward. And, you know, I really wasn't so happy with what I was doing, and I'm going to change my career now. And a lot of people, you know, started looking for employment. They were posting their resumes online. You know, there's so different sites like Indeed or LinkedIn. Well, of course, you know, scammers got a hold of all of that and, you know, started to imposter companies. They would call or contact the person and say, you know, I'm with such and such company. I saw your resume. And they would actually do what they called an interview over the phone. And at that point, they would ask for, you know, personal information quickly, you know, instead of, you know, normally you apply for a job. It takes a while, right? It takes, you know, a few days or a week to hear back. You might go through an interview on the phone and then an interview in person or Zoom. And, you know, it's a process. But these scammers would quickly inform the people that they had received the job and then proceed to ask for personal information, especially banking information, because, of course, you know, they would offer direct deposit to be paid. And that's where, you know, people would give up their information because, you know, they were excited. They wanted to believe that this was true. And when it comes to employment scams, what we saw really an increase of was reshipping of packages, for example. And that is where, you know, the person would be offered a job working from home, shipping packages that they would receive at their doorstep. And what would happen is they would receive the packages, but they were actually just the middlemen, you know, helping to perpetuate a fraud that was going on by receiving usually stolen goods that they didn't even realize, and then reshipping those items to different addresses. And in fact, I did a press release earlier in the year about that because we saw such an increase. Scammers had just hijacked an address and pretended to be in the Milwaukee area and offered, you know, this particular job that people were responding to. So luckily, you know, those victims agreed to work with a local TV station to get the word out, and we didn't receive any more reports from consumers. So hopefully, you know, they saw our story. They knew it was a scam. Then I'll just talk.
Lisa, hang on 1 second. Let's go to Bob from Waukesha. Good morning to you, Bob. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Morning, Earl. About 6 years ago, I wanted to have a tub resurfaced. And before I hired this contractor, I called the Better Business Bureau. They gave this guy a AAA, their best rating. So he comes over, I give him $300, and 2 days later, his man comes over to resurface my tub. And when he got done, the next day, it was all dried and everything, I looked at it, it looked the same. It wasn't. It just looked the same, if not worse. So I called the guy up, the owner. He came over, and he says, well, we'll do it again. I called another company that resurfaces bathtubs, and turns out, and I knew it, I had a fiberglass tub and surround. You cannot resurface fiberglass. So the owner, I told him to leave my house, and I will never call the Better Business Bureau again for a referral on a contractor because this guy had no clue as to what he was doing.
Thank you very much for the call. Let me, you want to respond to that, Lisa, because, you know, we're up against time constraint. Can you hang on or you want me to get back to you at a different time?
Who, me?
Yes.
Yeah, no. I'd love to respond, and I have all the time in the world for
you. Okay. So, I mean, there's so much to talk about, and I think people really have a lot to say about this. So hang on, and everybody else, we've got to pay some bills. We'll be right back.
Green-eyed lady, windswept lady. The waves, the sand, green-eyed lady, ocean lady, child of nature, friend of man. Lonely.